Welcome to Click Through. I'm your host, Hillary Frederick. This is the podcast where innovation meets impact, where we explore the leading edge of user experience and customer transformation in government. AI, artificial intelligence, it's everywhere these days, and you can't escape the transformative impact that AI has made in your daily life, in possibly the way you work. And it's definitely changing the way companies and organizations are using AI to rethink customer experiences. And in the federal government, AI has an incredible potential to fundamentally change how agencies serve its citizens. From streamlining service requests to handling complex case management, AI agents are shaping the future of government service delivery. Today, we're talking about how AI is transforming citizen interactions in the federal space, what challenges some agencies face in adopting these solutions, and what needs to happen next to make AI a truly a game changer. We have two incredible guests joining us. First, from Salesforce, Mia Jordan. She's a digital transformation executive for the public sector, who will give us insights on how AI-powered agents are evolving and enabling better citizen experiences. Prior to her role at Salesforce, Mia also spent some time in the federal space within the Department of Education and with the USDA, and she was a former federal CIO. And also, we have Mike Raker, Chief Technology Officer from Maximus. Mike is a technology visionary who oversees several research and development activities across AI, CX, and data management initiatives to deliver innovative technologies to support government clients worldwide. If you're new to Click Through, we're thrilled to have you join us. And to our loyal listeners, welcome back. You're the reason we keep uncovering these fascinating conversations. Let's dive in. Okay, so let's start the stage today. Mia, I know we are talking a lot about AI and powered customer experiences in the private sector, but this particular technology, agentic AI, I'm hearing it a lot. Why is this critical today when we talk about modernizing government service delivery? Kind of, you know, walk me through basically what is agentic AI? I'm really curious to kind of get my hands around what does that mean? And what is making that so special and so unique right now?
Oh, gosh, for a few reasons. So agentic AI, we've moved beyond bots that have very specific instructions to artificial intelligence now that you can train and learns your it learns your data, it learns your processes. Think of things like a standard operating procedure that a human being might typically follow. An agent is able to follow those instructions and execute them independently or with a human in the loop. And so when we start thinking about how that is going to impact government, you know, one of the first things is efficiency and speed. While modernization has been around for decades, whether you call it IT modernization or whether you call it digital transformation, the outcomes, the desired outcomes have always pretty much been the same in terms of efficiency, speed, accessibility, right? But now when we've introduced artificial intelligence into the equation, we are now thinking of things like personalization, right? Where citizens expect more personalized interactions like they have in the private sector, accessibility, 24 hours a day, you know, 7 days a week support, natural language processing. And then one of the key drivers that I hear my customers talk about all the time is how do I truly utilize AI for faster data-driven decision-making? Because there is so much data. How do I get real-time insights from AI that inform policy decisions and the like?
Mike, there's obviously a lot of challenges when it comes to adopting and implementing different AI tools and processes. What kind of challenges have you seen when working with different federal clients and customers today?
Yeah, sure. And thanks for having me. I wanted to follow on Mia's comments there about agentic, because that is one of the things that we've seen is a real step forward in implementation, moving from what used to be AI and chatbots and the like to helping to automate some of the common tasks that a human operator does while not removing the human from the equation in terms of decision-making power. If I step back, that really frames the larger answer to this question to me, which is one of the big challenges in implementing AI in government systems that I think we sometimes forget about, but we always put it at the center of it is, what operational problem were we trying to solve? If we're not applying technology for technology's sake, but to drive the government forward and to drive the services for our citizens forward, if we're showing value in efficiency and the effectiveness of those for our government customers and ultimately the citizens of the U.S., all of the other implementation challenges tend to be not as big a hurdles to get over, anywhere from data access to, questions on policy to implementation timelines to anything else. If it solves an operational problem and there's benefit to the end users of it, all of those things typically go away. I think a lot of times when you see implementation problems, it is a technology looking for an answer. And when we get that the other way around, which is, here's the problem we're trying to solve, here's a technology that comes forward, all those other hurdles tend to fade into the background.
While these agents are a huge step forward, how does this work when you have legacy systems, right? Because agents are sounding great, right? You're talking efficiency and effectiveness. They're able to do a lot of great things. You're talking about proactiveness, right? They're moving these things forward. If they're starting to look at, you mentioned natural language processing, you're serving up more personalized experiences to me. That's sounding great. But agencies have they've got a lot of legacy. How are you working and dealing with implementing these agentic AI solutions and tools, but still working within those legacy environments?
So, in my personal opinion, I believe Salesforce has has found a sweet spot in this AI evolution that differentiates us from every other product out there. In that, when we're talking about AI, we're talking about AI in the flow of work, right? Our specialty is customer relationship management. We're helping customers with their customers. And because of that, when we are saying AI in the flow of work, we are literally looking at the way in which your business operates, the way in which a citizen might submit an application and an analyst receives that application on the back end and has to go through a set of different business rules, looking at policy, looking at regulation, maybe there are statutes in place, local ordinances, rules, right? Those rules are typically the thing that slows government down, because those rules are often, as Mike kind of referred to, they're kind of all over the place. They're dispersed all over in different systems, maybe in spreadsheets, Access databases, a SharePoint site, all sorts of places, a data warehouse. And so we have tools that can help customers, first and foremost, connect to that data very seamlessly using a technology called Data Cloud. But on top of that, where then those agents can then go through natural prompts that the analyst can use to go and then find that data, and it retrieves the data that is relevant to the case that the analyst is working on. That's a huge difference that we're bringing to the table that I think a lot of our customers have yet to really understand and realize when they're doing comparisons in their own journeys, where they're creating their own LLMs in a very ChatGPT kind of model, but that's still creating swivel chair, right? And so this AI in the flow of work removes the swivel chair from the way in which work gets done, and it really allows people to move quickly and serve citizens better. Mike, would you agree?
Yeah, I think you nailed it, that gone are the days when you need to move a bunch of data around to start to gain the insights and outcomes that you want in systems. That's still a part of the tools in the arsenal. But I think the really comprehensive strategy that companies like Salesforce have taken around, it's not just about AI, right? AI doesn't work well without data and the underlying structures there. So with Data Cloud, MuleSoft, and the suite of products that are there, often that's a first step into efficiency and effectiveness, is how do I just get access into all of the stovepipes or legacy or whatever formats of information that I have that are available to my customer service agents, to my citizens and the like. If I can't connect those things together, my implementation of AI over the top is going to be muted. So it's a progressive blow through that to make sure that we don't have to move a bunch of data around, and we can use what's there to increase the speed to value to the customer while we may be doing additional data transformation, data curation, other activities in the modernization space that accelerates that further into the future. So I think that's where a Salesforce platform and where you as a product team have gone really brings that tool suite across the board to help all of the individual problems and challenges that organizations fit that can then be aggregated into driving the outcomes that customers want to drive the business forward.
And then Mike, in terms of, you know, system integrators or technology providers like Maximus, AI tools and workflows aren't enough. What kind of role do you see from your standpoint, you know, ensuring that AI adoption succeeds in these cases? You know, what does success look like in terms of adoption?
We've said this a couple of times in different formats, but I really think this foundationally starts with, I think integrators need to take more responsibilities for the systems they implement. We've said this corporately from our earnings calls to other places, that, you know, over half of our customers are outcome-based contracts. And what that means is we get paid by the outcomes. We have skin in the game with our customers to make sure that at the end of the day, the citizen gets served, and that I'm incentivized to deliver better outcomes for them. When we are incentivized that way, and when we have skin in the game, we're more apt to bring more technology to the table on our own behalf, not because we're getting paid by the hour to go do it as a consultant, but because we're aligned with the customer outcomes and we succeed or fail with the customer. So I think that responsibility aspect of it in outcome-based contracts is really important as we look for the next generation of better public-private partnership, something that Maximus has been doing for decades already. That's how we do business. And I think with contract structures like that and relationships with both our end customers, the governments and the citizens, and relationships with our technology partners and people like Salesforce, you've created an ecosystem that is far more likely to deliver the outcomes at a cost-effective and innovative way forward than in some of the traditional contracting models that you've seen in the past. And I think that's a stand that we take as Maximus, is we want to lean forward in that and make sure that the mission is our commitment with our customers.
I want to go back a little bit to something, Mia, that you said a little bit ago about workflows and going back to the agentic AI a little bit. When you talked about AI agents working with customers, citizens, even employees, when you talked about those workflows, are you able to share how those AI agents might be able to predict and proactively think about citizen needs before they arrive? Are you able to share what maybe a future forward use case might be? Are you able to walk us through anything, what an AI agent might be able to do for someone?
Yeah, you know, we experience this in our daily lives outside of government, right? And it's become almost imperceptible to us, in that, you know, when we are say we're loyal to a specific brand, and we have that brand's app on our phone, it's not unreasonable, and it's almost expected that we expect to be known, right, by that brand, whether it's a hotel or it's a clothing brand, you know, the Amazons of the world, right? It's always making recommendations based upon our preferences. So I'll use something quite generic. I mean, think about, you know, your passport or your driver's license. All those things have an expiration date that's associated with them, right? Well, you know, the things, a proactive government and how it's able to use AI and agents is that, you know, through those systems, you know, an email maybe is sent, you know, 120 days out before the expiration date. Maybe then a text message is sent to you, you know, 60 days and then 30 days out. And then you may get an actual link, say at that 30-day point, that's actually prompting you to start your reapplication at that point, where it's asking you, the agent can literally ask the customer questions like, you know, is all of your information the same? What information has changed? You know, allowing the customer to not have to recomplete a brand new application, but just fix what's changed. I mean, that's the way in which, you know, agents can guide our customers, and it can do very much the same thing on the back end when that driver's license or that passport needs to be taken through the process of renewal. Also consider that there may be government, what is not for profit, but think about when I'm updating my passport, maybe I want global entry, maybe I want clear, maybe I want TSA pre-check. Those agents could make recommendations and provide you with those links to do those things, right? Again, the government now has access to technology that the private sector has, and therefore can create very similar and seamless experiences such as the private sector. And I think that is the expectation of the public, the constituents we serve, the companies we serve, the partners that the government does business with. And so this platform, the Salesforce platform, and its product suite that it's offering in terms of artificial intelligence is allowing government customers that are buying to really think about how do we close the gap on having what people would call a government experience and just having a good customer experience, no matter if it's a government agency or whether or not it's a private company.
You know, we talk about in our CX Next Gen construct, right, efficiency to effectiveness, then insights and actions. And that's exactly what Mia is talking about, is in that effectiveness category, this is about being proactive and driving outcomes with customers. How do we make sure that while you're getting your driver's license renewed, you know, here's your update on your passport or your visa? How do we make sure that is a proactive outreach to customers? And I think, you know, one of the challenges in the government sector that the private sector doesn't really face is they don't have the option to figure out which parts of the consumer base that they want to aim those things at and which they don't. They have to serve all citizens. So when you look at it through that lens, there is no citizen left behind. It's a mandate. That's what governments do. It drives the technology in a little bit different means in terms of accessibility and making sure all the forms of engagement are available to the citizen. So it truly is the next level of personalization that consumer and private companies really don't have to deal with. They can make a choice there. Governments can't. And I think the partnership with Salesforce is leading the way in how we do that. The second thing I'll say is the nature of how we think about interaction here, and we'll have some more public releases in CX Next Gen coming out, coming to a theater near you shortly. We won't get into it all here on the podcast, but part of that is also re-looking at what is the ultimate responsibility of the government. And the ultimate responsibility of the government is to serve the citizens, but that starts with policy decisions, legislation, and the like that drive the administration of these government programs that ultimately end up in citizen services. Governments are faced with decisions all the time about what those policies should be to drive, whether it's citizen health, security, or other things for the global public good. We want to go beyond just the effectiveness and look at the insights and actions that we can deliver to governments that are starting to debate what kinds of policy changes would be best for the citizenry. Take a really simple one here that Mia brought up. What's the impact if your visa or passport is updated every 5 years or 10 years or the like? What's the impact on the citizenry? What's the impact on revenue generated by the government? What's the impact on the security from passport control and the like? Well, what if that's 15 years or 5 years? What does it, how can we help provide insights to the government about what that relatively small but significant policy might look like? We think CX systems are the gateway to helping governments understand the impacts of those types of decisions that they're making, even at the policy level, that then translates down into your CX systems and down into your citizenry and the experience there. That's what we call insights and actions, right? Being a proactive customer to really help use things like digital twins and advanced simulations to judge what are those policy decisions that we might or might not make, and how would that impact the overall outcome to the citizenry, the implementation of our CX systems, the government, the baseline trust in government, and how we operate as a country. So, I mean, those are the things that we want to see in the next generation of what we're going, and there will be a follow this space for more there.
Sorry, you said an interesting word, digital twins. You got to explain. I'm new to this. What does that mean?
Yeah.
How does that affect me? As a citizen, what does that mean?
Yeah, a great question. And I've got a long history in digital twins, modeling and simulation, and all those sorts of things. And it's an absolutely loaded term and one of those that I love and hate all at the same time, because it means something different to everybody. What I really mean by it in this instance is, how do you create a virtual representation, a synthetic representation of the systems that you are operating from the policy level down to the contact center, so that you can have an environment where you can make adjustments in a synthetic world, right? In a twin of what you're doing in the real world, to hypothesize around what changes you might want to make, so that you can gain insights into those decisions before you make them in the real world. We're not going all the way to avatars and virtual representations of all those things yet, but it is a way to gain further insights to help our decision makers, be that inside a CX system or at the governmental level, experiment with possible policy alternatives and the like, to say, what might we pre-plan or predict, and what might be the impacts of decisions we're making before we make them in the real world, so that they're better informed in those decisions, right? They're making those decisions regardless of whether or not they have the assistance of things like that. We're just trying to help better inform them as to what those alternatives might look like.
You said pre-plan and predict. I wanted to ask, do you have a CTO magic eight ball? Is there any other, any other magical AI predictions? Do you have any, long-term vision predictions from a CTO perspective, how AI might evolve?
With respect to CX systems, it's not far in the future where we expect that we will be engaging with agents coming into our systems. So if you think about today, most of the conversation has been, how do we make our CX systems more efficient and effective through agentic, multi-agent, and the like, to just make the transactions and effectiveness and outcome of CX systems better. But in that, we hold as a bit of a foundational truth that we're dealing with a human being on the other end of that system. It's not far out when we will, in our personal lives, have those digital assistants that are doing things on behalf of us, because we don't want to do them as citizens, right? I mean, you're starting to see little pockets of that where it's, have this system call me when it's available and, alert me when these things happen and whatnot. But I really truly feel that we're on the doorstep of, why wouldn't I have a virtual me go and fill out my passport application with the information I provided and the like, right? So now you're not having multi-agent systems inside of a CX boundary, but actually across them. And the nature of digital interaction will start to change in that. And like all technology, that will be adopted by a certain set of the populace far before other elements of it. But I think that's an area where we're starting to think about what does that look like so that we can look at what's around the corner and design in for those types of scenarios. That's one of a dozen I could go through, but that's the one I think about probably most frequently. Things that we've started doing is how do you use, going back to the digital twins, how do you use avatars and representations of likely callers, right, or likely contacts inside a CX system for virtual training, for hypotheticals, for the like, so that you're using more AI even in the training of agents and dealing with difficult contacts and adverse situations in more of a gamified way. That technology is here. So you know, those are all on the doorstep to truly almost agent-to-agent interactions that I think will certainly take hold in the next decade.
Mia, I wanted to ask you a question. So with implementing any of these technologies, how do you work with customers to understand that it's working? What does success look like? How do you work with these customers to identify and measure, you know, key performance indicators to show that these agentic AI tools are actually showing and doing and performing, that they're working and giving the results that they're supposed to?
Well, I'll state the obvious and say, you know, we are always helping customers understand that they're not adopting technology for technology's sake, right? That there has to be some tangible outcome that they are that they desire, that AI is the right tool for the problem. I think that's first and foremost. Secondly, when customers are able to describe the problem that they're trying to solve, and when we can determine that, okay, AI is the right solution to help you solve that problem, it is really, I have a customer that I won't necessarily name here, but, you know, when customers are able to identify kind of like what their as-is state was with oftentimes hybrid systems, right, where it was it's a lot of manual processing in some cases, coupled with, you know, tools that they have, systems that they have to get work done. When they're able to actually document, you know, how much time, how many people that it takes to process an application for a benefit or a service, you know, are they able to get how long it takes them to get information back and forth from the constituent that they're serving? We're able to use that as a baseline to then actually show, well, when we use this particular solution, this is the time savings. In addition to sometimes the benefit comes in the form of staff hours. Sometimes the benefit also comes in being able to deprecate or sunset systems because you no longer need to use kind of a hodgepodge of solutions to get things done. But also the outcomes on the other end, which is CSATs, right? Customer satisfaction, measuring that as well. Often I tell customers, you know, when they're talking with us about their issues, I often say, you know, what's the thing that's giving you a black eye, right? Let's see how do we solve for that first? Because if you're able to change people's mind, change the sentiment around what it's like to do business with you, the other stuff gets easier. And what I mean by that is the other stuff gets easier is, not only does your external customer sentiment change, but your internal, you know, employee sentiment begins to change as well. And so you're affecting ultimately the entire ecosystem around that providing those services.
Yeah, I think that's dead on. And you know, we've talked about this in other formats, but I think stepping back as an industry and public-private partnership, making sure we know what outcomes we're trying to drive is foundational to this. Yeah. It's really easy to get lost in the technology, and I say that as a technologist, and you know, with you know, world-class product being represented here with us in a great partnership. At the end of the day, it's about the outcomes that we generate. And technology is a means to that end, and we can't forget that. I think on another podcast, I talked about the fact that I don't, you know, we don't want to fall in love with the technology as much as, you know, as we want to fall in love with the outcomes, right? We want to fall in love with listening again, right? Listening to what the citizenry and that are coming into our CX systems are really telling us about their trust in government, about how we improve their daily lives, about what outcomes we're really trying to generate. That's the power in a partnership like we have with Salesforce, is we can get back to helping the government be better at driving citizen outcomes. And that falling in love with listening part is how we think about, you know, you've got a great insight into the public sentiment, trust in government and the like through your CX systems. Let's listen. Let's listen to what our citizens really want, and then use technology to accelerate our ability to deliver that. And I think that's the message that we want to deliver is just that.
Also, if I could just add just one more layer onto this that is often forgotten, is that there really has to be a willingness from the customer, which we're engaging with, not necessarily their customer, but our customer, to really rethink their business processes, right? Before even introducing technology into the solution. Oftentimes, right? I talk about this as well, Mike, in other places, but you know, there is so much friction that has developed over the decades in the delivery of programs because employees haven't had the right tools and they've had to create all these workarounds in order to provide service. And so how do we unlearn those workarounds? How do we unlearn that friction, handoff from this team to this team, this functional unit to this functional unit? How do we engage there first around those friction points? Because otherwise, you know, if that friction still exists, the best AI is still going to bump its head right up against those friction points, because your org chart is constraining progress, right? Not necessarily the tool. And so I just like to throw that out there. Folks don't like to always deal with that, but that's a real, real thing that has to get untangled.
Yeah, me, and that's where I think we've always been aligned in our partnership, right? Is the technology continues to evolve, a fantastic product company that continues to define what the state of the art is, but at the same time, having that core principle of making sure we remind ourselves why we're here in the first place, right? Mm-hmm. Again, fall in love with listening to what, you know, what our agents are saying, what the citizens are saying, what we need to deliver, and then be excellent in the technology application that helps to drive those outcomes. And as long as we keep that orientation correct, we can drive into the next generation and help the government better serve its citizens.
Thank you, Mike and Mia, for joining us today, and a big thank you to our listeners for tuning in. If you want to hear more proven strategies for leveraging innovative technology to improve total experiences in federal government, please subscribe to this podcast or visit us at our website, maximus.com/federal. I'm your host, Hillary Frederick. Join us next time for more strategies for optimizing total user experiences from government to you. This podcast was produced by Government Technology Insider and sponsored by Maximus.